This message entitled Defining Moments was delivered to Christ the Rock Bible Church on August 7th, 2022 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Acts 5:12-16.
And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought, meaning worked, among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. That's a large open area on the side of one side of the temple. Okay? And then it says in verse 13, and the rest durst no man. Durst no man. I'll get back to it. Join himself to them. But the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, watch this, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passed by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. Jesus didn't skip anybody. They were healed, every one, it says. Everyone. We'll get back to this and get more into some of those words that we found in there. Praise the Lord. Today we're calling it defining moments. Okay? Defining moments. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the defining moment that today is. As you put before this sign-up sheet, dear God, you put before us this sign-up sheet, you make it clear it's a defining moment. That we can now venture forth and share your truth about the miraculous in whatever way you call us to. And we thank you, Lord, that you are God. We thank you, Lord, that you are Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are our everything. Glory be to God. We love you, Lord. We need you. And we do pray, dear God, that you'll open up this truth to our understanding. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Defining moments. Have you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Roy Riegel? Roy Riegel. Turns out he picked up a fumble during the 1929 Rose Bowl game and ran as fast as he could. However, he was running towards the other team's end zone. His mistake set up the winning touchdown for the other team, for the opposition. It became a defining moment. And he quite well defined himself. And I've got to say, I'm sure it was a negative, very negative time for him. Ralph Branca may not be a household name today, but many will never forget the pitch that he threw in the last game of the 1951 National League playoffs. I was about 9 months old at the time, so I don't remember it. All right? Bobby Thompson eyed the pitch and pelted, and this is what he said, the shot heard around the world. Now, originally that statement is used for a rifle shot that essentially started the Revolutionary War many, many years before. But now they're referring to this as the shot that was heard around the world. A home run that won his team the pennant and probably the most famous homer in baseball history. Chris Webber's defining moment came when the young basketball star called timeout during the 1993, and some of you could remember this. I don't, but 1993 NCAA Finals, only to discover that his team had no more timeouts remaining, which didn't go over well. So, whatever happened to Roy Riegel, first fella I mentioned? Well, I don't know. Perhaps he forgot his blunder. Maybe he went on to use it somehow to his advantage. I don't know. But the second fella I mentioned to you, Ralph Branca, he actually turned his defining moment into a turning point. In the years to come, and I don't know if it still exists, but he was a major force in an organization called BAT, B-A-T. It was dedicated to assisting old ball players, you know, the old guys who were retired, who have suffered tragedies more permanent than dealing with the wrong pitch. Maybe they've got, you know, arthritis and they're all crippled up. Or maybe they're in the hospital with something even worse. Who knows? More permanent than dealing with the wrong pitch at the wrong moment. Chris Weber, he established a nonprofit agency called Time Out Incorporated. And literally what it was for, and I quote, to help kids who need a timeout to get going again. You know, you had something embarrassing or hard happen or whatever, and you pulled away from the whole thing. You kind of took a time out, you know, like mom used to say, you know, it's time for a time out, you know, in the corner, you know. But this nonprofit agency would help kids get back into it and get them going again. The fact is that life is ripe with defining moments. Moments that can make us, moments that can break us, depending on our perspective. For the Christian, there is the assurance of God's plans for us are good. God works all things for the good for those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. A lot of people like to shorten that verse up and say all things work for the good. But that's not what the Bible says. For the Christian, there is the assurance of God's plan that God's plans for us are good, regardless of the difficulty of our present circumstances. And the call, of course, is to see beyond the places of hurt, the places of embarrassment, and get on with it. Praise God. Defining moments can go both ways. We saw in the first four chapters of the Gospel or the book of Acts. Some people do call that the Acts of the Holy Spirit, call the whole book the Acts of the Holy Spirit instead of just the Acts, okay? And we saw several places where we were told that the people were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you can move into chapter 5 and you see these two people, Ananias and Sapphira, not going God's way, not looking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but instead listening to Satan. What we have before us is the result of people moving beyond and I don't want to say past like getting away from it, but just beyond having the fullness of the Spirit. With the fullness of the Spirit came a defining moment, all right, that touched them and gave them a miraculous outcome. We have here a list following right after. I think it's neat that it's right after Ananias and Sapphira. And it says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And that was Ananias and Sapphira and how they died because they didn't do things God's way. And then verse 12 says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought or worked among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Of the rest, durst, I'll get back to this, durst no man join himself together or to them, but the people magnified them. That's what happened. They didn't join up like a club, okay? But they magnified the apostles. In fact, the other people that were in the church were not called to be the apostles. You weren't joining the apostles, you know? Literally, the word apostle means sent one. And they were specifically sent by God to do what they had to do, okay? We are also, in a sense, apostles of this age because we are also sent. That's what the word means, okay? But we don't join them and say, I'm right alongside Peter, or I'm right alongside Paul. You know, you see what I'm saying? They durst not do that. They dared not do that. All right, let's look at this for a minute. What about some of these words? Well, turns out there were signs and there were wonders. Signs and wonders done by the apostles. Okay? The signs, in the Greek now, the word sign means a mark left by a touch. It's God's fingerprint is the easiest way to put it. God's fingerprint, and the value of it is what it points to. What is the fingerprint of God pointing to when it speaks to all these people, and especially the apostles, and then the whole church after that, okay? Okay, the fingerprint of God, the value of it is what it points to, and it's pointing to the reality of God. It's pointing to what God can do. It's pointing to the miraculous, if I could put it that way, and I think I can. All right? A wonder is something different. A wonder, because it says signs and wonders. It doesn't say signs or wonders. It says signs and wonders. Okay? A wonder is something that is apt to be or likely to be kept in memory. It's something that happens and you're going to remember it. The wonder is. Okay? Something that amazes and startles at the same time. Others did not take it lightly. When they saw these apostles doing these things and showing these wonders and these signs, they didn't take it lightly. The Bible says they dared not, they durst not, they dared not to join up without having true courage, true boldness, and true confidence to venture into the heart of it. They knew better. They had just come through Ananias and Sapphira. They knew better. All right? They weren't going to come in any kind of false way. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We've got to see that the other people that were there and that were joining up were not joining the apostles. They were not demanding, okay, I get the seat next to Peter. Everybody move down. No, it wasn't that at all. They didn't dare do that. They had just seen Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't dare play games with God. Okay? They could come with true courage, true boldness, true confidence to venture into the heart of what was going on. And that did not mean taking somebody's seat away. Amen? It was a defining moment. All these other people we're talking about, magnified the apostles for the great things that they were doing, for the signs and for the wonders. The whole purpose, the whole thing was not all about, I'm going to sit next to Peter, I'm going to sit next to, you know what I'm talking about? You know, bragging about it, and, you know, and we're part of the group, you know, and, you know. I've seen people do that through the years. I've seen people do that. Take pride in the fact that they're at Christ Our Rock Bible Church. And then not. Defining moment. All the others magnified the apostles for the great things that they were doing. And yet, the church was growing. Look at verse 14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. You know, you would think that if somebody wanted to sit next to Peter and they said no, that maybe you'd lose that guy. Of course, we're making up the first part of that, so I guess you can make up the last part of it. I don't know what people were doing about the chairs. The believers were the more added to the Lord, and multitudes, both of men and women. Multitudes became part of it because they knew it was real, and this was all proven by the healings and by the miracles and so forth that were being performed. And in this, people were connected. People were part of the church. Amen. Do you have, let me just ask the question. Do you have a cabinet? Now, be real clear about this. No, I'm not talking about a cupboard. I'm not talking about a box with doors in it. You know, this one over here especially has doors on it, and you could, you know, you could look at that and you say, well, that's a cabinet. You know what I'm talking about? Then you can have cabinets at home, and you might have your encyclopedias in there. Oh no. You'd have your charging station, and you'd have, you know, all of your gizzies and so forth, because encyclopedias are not around anymore. I'm teasing. I still got those encyclopedias, Ben, over at my house. You got to come and get them someday. What do you think? But we got to find a cabinet for you to put them in. And I've been watching. And I'm going to find a cabinet, and you can put them in there, and then you can read the encyclopedias. And it's got two dictionaries. You can read the dictionaries, Lily. Okay. A lot of people wouldn't see that as cool, but a lot of people like to do that. They just like to read and see the words and so forth. Anyway, that's a cabinet, okay? But that's not the kind of cabinet I'm talking about. Okay? Let's see. Yes. All right, not talking about a covered shelf. All right, that's basically what a cabinet is. I'm talking about a group of people, or at least a couple of people, or maybe another person that is a very trusted advisor to you, whose opinions you weigh carefully. And I'm specifically talking about with regards to spiritual things. Is there someone that you know, okay, that you believe they've got some distance with the Lord? With the Lord. I didn't say from the Lord. I said with the Lord. Okay. All right. That they would be able, you'd be able to share with them some things that are going on, and they could weigh it carefully, and they give you some advice, and maybe you're going to welcome that advice. Doesn't mean you have to take it, but, you know, do you have that? Okay. A cabinet. That's why a group of people that are around the president of the United States, secretary of this, secretary of that, it's called the cabinet. It's not that he keeps them in a cabinet and he opens the door, gets them out every week, and they have a meeting. That might not be a bad way to go. But anyway, but that's why they call it a cabinet, because it's people that he relies on for direction and for advice. I'd like to see God take one of those seats. Praise the Lord. Trusting only, self-consulting with only old number one. That's what a lot of people are doing, you know, me. I'm what's important, what I say. You know, it's a dangerous practice to be about. What happens when we listen only to ourselves and don't even think about another's ideas? Or, and you got to remember, we're talking godly others. We're talking people that would tell you right from God's word what to be about. We're not talking about, I think you need to do this, I think you need to do that, I think, you know, that's not godly advice. All right. I remember years ago when I was growing up, we listened to music on what's called a phonograph. Now, I know for the young people here, you have no idea what I'm talking about, right? A phonograph. What is a phonograph? Well, it's not a little tiny box anymore. Now they're like this. In fact, we had one that was huge, and it had speakers, and it was stereo, and, you know, but all from one place. And that would, you know, span out. The noise of it would span out. And it was called a cabinet. That thing was even called a cabinet, all right? But it was still a record player, and it played records. And if you wanted to hear something funny, you'd play a record at the wrong speed. But then if your mom or dad caught you doing that, they tell you not to do it because you're going to ruin the needle. Okay? You don't have all that to worry about now. You got, you know, digital. Everything's digital. But when I was a kid, we enjoyed that. My mom would put records on there, and she would play them. And she had Perry Como. She probably had every album Perry Como probably ever had. And I ended up with a couple of them. And let's see, what else did she have? Oh, she had Tennessee Ernie Ford, all right? And 16 tons, you load 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, because it's not a good idea to finish the song, because I'm not planning on going to heaven when they say so. Anyway, Tennessee Ernie Ford, okay? Lots of others. There was one named Skeeter Davis. You ever hear of Skeeter Davis? Country Western. My mom was from Cincinnati. She was from Kentucky. So she was into a lot of that kind of stuff too. So she would play those things. Anyway, record players, okay? You don't see them much anymore, but you do see them. And I still had some records, you know? I now currently own 3 copies of The First Family about the Kennedys, and they're all acted out and so forth in voice. And funny, it's a funny comedy album. And it seems like every time I go over to Goodyear, no. Is it Goodyear? No. Good something. What is it, Kara? Goodwill. Yeah, it seems like every time I go over there, I find another copy of it. Now, these are probably worth $1 million each. So it might end up being a good thing in the end. Anyway, and then, you know, oh, I had several other albums, but not many that I still kept. I threw most of them away when all that record stuff went out the door. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. I had a lot of 45s, too. I don't have hardly any of that, maybe one or two. People Need the Lord, Pat Boone. I got that on a 45. Praise God. There was no noise reduction. There were no dials to try to get this and turn that, or no switches that needed to be flipped. No surround sound, no complex balancing of treble and bass. But ignorance was absolute bliss. We put it on, we turned it up, and we liked it. We enjoyed what we heard. And a lot of people, they say nowadays, a lot of people are going back to the records because they have a better sound than the digital does. I don't know. I never weighed the differences. Now, those in my generation have developed more of a sophisticated ear. You know how sophisticated my ear is. All right? Okay. Phonographs and records, record players, they're obsolete. You can still get them. You know, they have it at Walmart. But the flat sound that we listen to as teenagers has been given a whole new dimension by compact discs, digital recording, and stereos with instrument panels that resemble that of a 747 on the runway. Okay? Praise God. When we listen to our own voice, we live, if that's all we listen to is what I think, okay, then I'm going to live by a very flat sound. It's important that we be in this word so that this word rounds it out. Okay? Rounds it out, fills it in. Okay? When we pass up the symphony of other voices, and I mean godly voices, in favor of our own solo, we are operating at a disadvantage. The human heart is wicked, the scripture says. We need God to overturn that whole thing. We need the straight stick of God's word to live by, and the voices of others, trusted friends, to turn our lives, to play out the music of his grace. Now remember, they can't just be saying, well, I think this and I think that. No, I'm talking about godly advice from godly people. Praise the Lord. Look at verses 15 and 16. Insomuch they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter's passing by might overshadow some of them. And then what do the prosperity guys do on radio and TV? They bring this all into it and they go ahead and tell people, you know, you need to buy this and you know, move the shadow around and let the shadow fall on you, and then you'll have, you know, you'll be like Peter. Okay. But that's not what the Bible says. He could be the only one that could be set up with a shadow that healed. There's people that tried to mimic everything. What about the sorcerer that tried to buy it? Tried to buy it. You know? I'm telling you, that's not the way God intends things to be. Praise the Lord. Amen? God is looking for a truth. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, and came also a multitude out of the cities and round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Okay? You got to come out of the city and come into God's city, into God's presence. It's really what it's all about. Have you ever heard the expression, and I'll close with this, have you ever heard the expression, the way to fight fire is with fire? It says that everyone was touched, everyone was healed. People joined together for the good of each other. It has to come to the point where the church is fighting fire with fire. I've heard it all my life, but it came alive for me in a new way when I heard a story told by Norman McLean about a Montana smoke jumper. You know, the guys that jump out of the helicopters and get in the middle of forest fires and deal with it from the inside out. Well, one's name was Wag Dodge. I'm thinking he made that up. But anyway, Wag Dodge was one of 15 smoke jumpers who were sent to battle a forest fire in August of 1949. Shortly after their jump, these tenacious, well-trained young men were surrounded by an inferno. Surrounded. As the wind shifted 180 degrees and picked up velocity, what had been a manageable fire, quite literally, was out of control. And they had to outrun the fire, or at least try to. When Dodge realized the fire would overtake him, he screamed to his men to stop and gather around him. Now, a more modern version of this story, I've heard that they have this foil that they have with them, and they snap it out, and they get it all laid out, and they get under it. There's a modern, it's a true story, but it's modern version of it. And the guy, the leader, called out for everybody to gather, and they got under this foil, and the whole forest burned right around the foil and didn't touch underneath. Similar idea, only in more modern times. Now, most of these guys did not hear Wag. They did not hear it, and they were overcome, and they died. Then with fire racing toward him, Wag Dodge lit a fire of his own and followed it, then circled back and laid down in the grass that had already burned. Well, now he's in an area where there's no fuel for the fire. I mean, there's no grass. It's burnt. It won't go anywhere now. When he did, the flames went around that had already been scorched and tried to find other stuff to burn, leaving him safe on the ground. He fought fire with fire. We are surrounded on every side by the superheated flames of our culture. I don't think there's any way that you can doubt that. How do we fight them? The way this young smoke jumper did, I believe. He set his own fire. We also must set our own fire. I picture this when I think of Pentecost, and I think of the disciples and the 120 all sitting around, and they all had what looked like flames on top of their head. Had to look like the whole place was filled with fire. And yet it wasn't a destructive fire. It was a godly fire. And we are surrounded on every side by superheated flames of our culture. So how do we fight them? Well, we set our own. We set our own, and the fire of our devotion to Christ begins to burn. Our God, who is a consuming fire, burns brighter and stronger than the flames of this fallen world. We fight fire with fire. And there's no doubt it becomes a defining moment. Okay? Becomes a defining moment. They can make us or break us, these defining moments. They can. They can make us or break us. It's really, a lot of it's up to us. God wants it to make us into what he wants to make us into. Okay? His plans for us are good. Okay? His plans are. To him is going to be all the glory if we will come to him for that plan. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. There are defining moments. Defining moments. And, you know, the signs, the wonders, the gathering to the apostles, the believing that takes place in verse 14, and then all the people that need healing, they're all healed. And it says, by the overshadowing, it's the same word that's used early on in the Gospel of Luke when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she became pregnant. It's the same word, overshadowed. It's God's power. It's God's power. Might overshadow some of them. Came also a multitude out of the cities. They came out of the city life. They came out of the world, so to speak. That's what it's saying. They came out of the world round about unto Jerusalem, unto God's city, unto the royal city, hallelujah, unto the city of David, you could say, bringing sick folks, bringing the people that need the healings, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And it says here that they were everyone healed. Praise God. Every one of them was healed. He didn't just do a smattering of people. It says everyone was healed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to thank God for those defining moments, I believe. We need to let God have all the glory. Hallelujah. We need to know that he has made us well. It says they healed everybody. We have been made well through Jesus Christ. That needs to be received. That needs to be lived. All right. But he's done the work. He paid the price. And it is well with my soul. Amen? It's well with my soul. I'd like you to turn to number 705. Would you do that? Turn to 705 and let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, that it is well. All we have to do is receive. All we have to do is grab a hold. All we have to do is allow it to become life within us. Hallelujah. We want to gather before your holy presence here today, dear God, and thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for being God. Thank you for making it clear. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you. We want the fullness of your Holy Spirit. We don't want to listen to the enemy. So I thank you, Lord, that that's your call too upon us, that we will truly be filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.